Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Before we start this episode, can I tell you about something that I am super excited about? And this is the first time that we're actually ever doing this. Now, you guys hear the different ads and things from sponsors on the podcast. And I really want to provide an opportunity for you to sponsor the podcast. So you hear all of these different big name companies that I talk about and share my experience here. But I want to also champion for other Christian small businesses who want to reach the audience of this platform. We reach over 275,000 people a month all over the globe. So it's a huge, massive platform that I'm so proud of. And I want to share this platform with you by advertising for your business. If you're looking for a way to gain new clients for your business without having to show up on social media or any other platform, listen up. For a limited time only, I'm offering a holiday ad special for my listeners where you can promote your product or service on the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast for just $2.99, a flat rate. According to statistics, 86.5% of participants listen to podcast ads, and 55.6% have made a purchase based on a podcast ad. Say goodbye to your business getting lost in the feeds of social media, especially with this upcoming holiday season, and purchase a podcast ad that will put you in the ears of hundreds of thousands. To learn more about our holiday ad special, click the link in the show notes or visit blessedandbossedup.com/ad special. Again, that's blessedandbossedup.com/ad special. We have a limited amount of slots because we're not going to bombard the episodes with ads, and we still have other sponsors who've purchased inventory throughout the year, but I wanted to make some space for your businesses. So again, limited ad spots are available. blessedandbossedup.com/ad special. Let's start the show.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. On last week's episode, I talked about the importance of rightfully dividing truth. And I talked about that because we just finished a challenge within the society last week. And that challenge was just all about lifestyle, action over information. And so we had different rules to the challenge and things that we put in place because our goal was for everyone who was there to just really seek God for themselves. So less about information and more about application. And so, of course, the society was being a society and breakthroughs were happening. So many just amazing things were happening. But one of my favorite parts of the challenge were our daily prayer calls. And so on one prayer call, I just felt God really using me to press the urgency of rightfully dividing truth. Yeah. And I think it was at the end of that call that you started talking about spiritual gluttony. And I was like, oh, that's good. And so as I was preparing the episode on Friday that I recorded yesterday, I was like, okay, I got to get Charlotte on the podcast to talk about this because this was a topic that I really want to dive into and something I really want the audience to have their eyes open to, just really as a way to not fall into the trap. Mm-hmm. So let's start with, what is spiritual gluttony?
So spiritual gluttony is when we have this overindulgence or this need to get a word from everybody all over the place all the time. And similar to regular gluttony, like at some point, if you are not utilizing the word to go out and do what God has called you to do, you're just packing on these pounds and there's no action behind it. It is of no nutritional value. If you're not applying the word, if you aren't serving, if it's not causing transformation, you just, oh, I'm gonna watch this sermon and I'm gonna go to this conference and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And yet you're still not doing what God has called you to do. Child, why? There's no nutritional value from that. You are just taking in all of this information. You have all these notes in your journal and all your little workbooks and all of this, but you have not acted on anything. And you still find yourself in the same position that you were when you were seeking God. So you go, you get hyped up, and then nothing. And it's very similar to people who overeat, like that they binge eat. They go and they eat, and then they feel sick about it. Then they don't feel good about themselves. And there's this whole cycle of like binging and purging. So just as it is not beneficial for us to go without being in the Word of God, you can absolutely, on the flip side, be drawn by your emotion, because it's not even the spirit that's leading you to watch these sermons. It's your emotion, because you're not getting into the word for yourself, but you're consuming all of these outside resources and it's not causing any transformation. It's just you gathering. I think of like a squirrel that stuffs their cheeks. Like you're sitting here, your mouth is full and you haven't even eaten what's on your plate, but you over here just scarfing stuff down. It's a form of greed, honestly, in the spiritual sense, especially because the words and the things that you're getting are self-serving. You're not serving God. You're not doing the things he's called you to do. You're not serving other people. It's just to make you feel good, get you hyped up, and then you be out here sick, spiritually sick.
So I'm always on the side of the new believer, right? The person who is trying to live this out genuinely, you know, really trying to get into their word, really trying to do what God has called them to do. So I believe that people find themselves in this state of spiritual gluttony unintentionally. Yeah. So how can people identify? Because from my perspective, I feel like a lot of people find themselves in this position because it's like, I'm trying to learn the things of God. So I'm in all these spaces not to overindulge or for selfish reasons or for a lack of self-control. I'm just trying to consume in hopes that I can then live this thing out. So what is the error in that? And how does that good intention end up in spiritual gluttony?
The lack of application. Mm-hmm. So the difference between truly like learning, right? Because when you eat and then you exercise, there's a balance in that caloric intake. So it's very similar. So when you get a word from God or you hear something or you learn something, you need to be able to start applying that. There should be some level of transformation. And once you get a concept, so like yesterday in church, our pastor was talking about discipline. There were things that he said that made me go, ooh, okay. Now I need to come home and I really need to study this and start figuring out what things to apply to my life. So in terms of he made a comment about how sometimes things aren't dead, they're just dormant. And it's because we haven't truly dealt with that situation. And that's why we come back around to it and it impacts our discipline. And so yesterday after service, I was like, okay, God, what things have I not that are dormant that I know I still struggle with that I really need to make sure that I'm setting before you. So it's not that getting the information is bad. It's what we do or don't do with it. So the way that you avoid this is by making sure that you are applying God's word to your life. There should be a level of transformation. There's an exchange that happens when we are making sure that we're practicing without overindulging, because you can learn so many things that you'll overwhelm yourself. Things start to get crisscross applesauce, and then it's not even being applied in the way that it should be. So it's okay to get a word, to learn something, and then you need to start walking that thing out and applying it to your life before you go to the next thing and this thing and that thing. Some of us just enjoy the feeling of learning something new, mm-hmm. but then we don't really, once we kind of get bored with it, we're ready for the next thing. Once we get bored, when if God's dealing with us in discipline, then we're like, oh no, I want to learn about praying in tongues instead. This is like, this is boring. And we'll go to the next thing. And it's really more so to emotionally keep us at this high point and not really applying God's word for transformation. And so that's where the misstep is.
Yeah, I like that you broke that down, because when I think about, for me, like learning something new on the education side. So when I'm always reading business books or things like that, I get to the point mentally where I'm like, I'm at capacity and mm-hmm. I have to get rid of some of the things that I'm ingesting. And for me, the only way to do that is to apply it. So I have to look at all this information I have and be like, okay, what is going to apply to my business? What can I toss out? What can I start practicing right now before moving on to whatever the information is that's coming up? And so, like you said, it's the same thing. We're ingesting all of these things, but how are we applying it so that we can see the transformation in our life? So for someone who is in this space where they are, you know, watching the sermons, attending the conferences and going to church and all of these different things, what is their step one to applying it so that they can see the transformation?
I think that the first thing is really having a level of self-examination, that sometimes we get a word and we hear the word, we get excited about the word, as we should, right? Because the word of God is life, like it's breathing, it's living. And yeah. So it's not bad to have an excitement or a zeal for God. We should. It's where we bury the talent. So God gives us something, and instead of us going out and multiplying it like the first servant and the second servant, we bury it instead. We keep it all to ourselves, and then nothing happens. And that's where you get to this place where you're wicked and lazy, and in accordance to the parable that Jesus told. And so I think that what we really have to do is go to God first about this word. So it, like I said, I took the first step to say, okay, God, I heard what Pastor Keith said and it was good. And I know that there's likely some areas in my life where things may be laying dormant. Reveal that to me. Show me anything that isn't like you in my life, and really have that level of self-examination. A lot of times we don't care for that. We don't care for God to give us the mirror and put it up to us, because mm-hmm. we're very busy trying to pray for this person to be delivered and pray for that person to be delivered and asking him to change the situation, when a lot of times the work of God really starts with him putting a mirror up to yourself. So mm-hmm. I remember when I was newly saved and I was doing all the things, and I was really praying and believing God for transformation in my marriage. And I was like, my husband, I mean, I was complaining. And he was like, let's talk about you. And I was like, the ghetto. I'm here. Like, I'm here talking to you. And but it was through that, when God showed me that a lot of times the only thing that needs to be transformed in order for atmospheres and in things to be changed is us. That's the only thing that we have a level of control over. You yeah. can't change the job. You can't change other people. You can't, even when you think about things like finances, you can't even, you may not be in a position to go and make more money right this second, but what you can do is seek God and find out if you need to be more disciplined with your money, if you need to quit fussing at your husband. There are things that you can do now to see immediate result. And so without that level of self-examination, then you're not going to get transformation. But we don't like that. Mm-hmm. Because we stay sanctified. Can't nothing be wrong with me. Mm-hmm. right? My hands are raised in worship. I don't have any true issue. But honestly, it's when you get to that point that it switches from you seeking God to you having this level of spiritual gluttony, because there's a level of self-righteousness in us refusing to examine ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're called to examine ourselves often in scriptures, examine ourselves and crucifying our flesh. Mm-hmm. Which means that things have to die off of us as we go to the next level, as we ask God for more things. Things have to die. And we don't like that because it's uncomfortable. And so that's what my pastor was talking about yesterday, about some of it isn't dead. It's just been lying dormant and it pops back up. Mm-hmm. And so that, man, now I got to go find out what's lying dormant and and really examine myself. And it's not in a way that is, you know, self-deprecating, but in a way that is going to be where you can bring about self-deliverance with the help of the Holy Spirit. You don't need somebody to go out and lay hands on you. You just need to sit before the Father, have a real examination of what's going on, do a true assessment, and then ask him to help you. And so there are things that we're seeking, you know, prophets for and all these other people when you can just get to the Father for yourself. And he will help you with the breakthrough that you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for the person who is not at that space where they feel confident, because I feel like another reason that pushes people into this space of super consuming spiritual things is they're not taking the time to truly build a relationship with God for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they get caught up in this pattern to where going to other people becomes a crutch. So how can someone who is in this state where they're, you know, consuming all these things because they want to grow, just really take a step back so that they can build that one-on-one relationship with God to where they are able to sit with him and then allow him to put the mirror up, and they're recognizing that that's what he's doing, and they're able to really sit with God and ask him these open-ended questions and be able to hear a response? So where do they start to be able to build that for themselves?
I think the first thing is to, I know the first thing is to know and have the expectation that God is going to speak to them about their situation. A lot of times we believe like, oh, God will only speak to Tatum, or God will only speak to Dr. Sharla. And that's not true. I think that the first issue that we find is that a lot of us come into relationship with God without truly understanding and knowing who he is. We don't know his character. We don't know his heart for us. We don't know his ways. And so when you don't, when you know of someone and you don't know them personally, it makes it hard for them, for you to receive feedback from them, especially if it's feedback that is like critical feedback for you to change in different areas. So when I get critical feedback, if I don't know God, that God's heart is for me, if I don't know that his word says that he disciplines those whom he loves, and that when he tells me, hey, Charlotte, tighten up, I know that I'll pick my edges up off the floor, we'll glue them back later, but I know that he is a sign of his love for me. And so the first thing I would challenge people to do is to really just get to know God. So I love, like I learned about the names of God. So it could be something very simple as that, knowing that he's Jehovah Jireh, that means he's going to provide for me. Knowing that he's Jehovah Shalom, that he is going to bring me peace. So really taking the time to go through and read the stories of old and the Old Testament to see how God used imperfect people to do his perfect will. He used Moses. Moses was a murderer. Like he murdered somebody. He used Paul. Paul also a killer in these streets. like he was killing Christians. So it's really important to get to know God first before you really start seeking him for things, and really just have a heart to get to know him. When you read Psalm 23 talking about the Lord is our shepherd, that means that he's going to provide for us. He's going to pilot us and show us what direction we need to go in, because he's going to lead you beside still waters. He's going to make sure that you're in green pasture. So he's going to provide, you're going to eat, and he's going to restore your soul. He's going to give you peace. And I think that when we kind of jump the gun of not even getting to know him first, we allow the opinions of other people, and we allow this like secondhand relationship for, you know, I know somebody that knows somebody, right? When you could know him for yourself, because he's the one who made you. And so understanding that God is no respecter of person. And as long as we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. His word really tells us everything that we need to know about him. And so it's really a matter of getting in your word, and you can have study helps to getting your word that aren't the voices of other people. So I love even like the Bible Project videos. These are videos and small clips that help you really digest the word of God, but it's not somebody else's revelation. It is just the word presented. And those are those kind of resources that you need. The Bible Project, got questions, make sure that you have a study Bible to where you can read the commentaries at the bottom, purchase commentaries. These are people who do, I learned these fancy terms in Bible school. There's a word called exegesis and eisegesis. And the way I remembered them is exegesis means that you just take the text and this is exactly what it says. You take what God's word says, and based on what's happening in the times, all of these different factors that people sometimes conveniently leave out, you are just stating or restating what God's word says. That's an exegesis for you to exegete the text. It's exactly what God said. And then there's eisegesis, where it's what I think this means. Like, I think that the word means X, Y, and Z. And that's where you find people taking God's word out of context. Mm-hmm. And this is why it can be dangerous. The reason that even for the new believer, you have to be able to have this personal relationship. You have to study the word for yourself is because it's up to us to rightly divide truth from non-truth. There are people who are out here proclaiming the name of God, and they are not of him, and they are not from him, and they are not for you. And some of the hurt that we experience within the body of Christ, with church hurt and manipulation, it is absolutely of the fault of the people, the manipulators. And also, we have a responsibility because we're not going home rightly dividing the word. We're supposed to test every spirit. That includes your pastor spirit, your mama spirit, your grandmama and them spirit. Every spirit's supposed to be tested. And so once we realize that we can have our own personal relationship, once we realize that we can go to God for ourselves, and you have the power and the authority to go in, and God will reveal to you his word and what it truly means.
I love that you talked about having Bible study tools that paint the picture of the text as opposed to painting somebody's interpretation of that text. I think that's such a clear point because most of the time we buy these devotionals, which is essentially just somebody's opinion with some scripture on it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We buy these commentaries or these Bible study books, which again is somebody's opinion. I have a Bible study book I wanted to learn about. I forgot what I was studying at that time. But the woman was talking about just like her journey in the rainforest and all of these things. Girl, what are we talking about? I was reading it like, what are we talking about? I am from Maryland. I'm talking about my rainforest.
Exactly.
And I don't care that you walk through the rainforest. I care about getting a deeper understanding of this particular scripture or this particular text.
Yeah.
And for some people that helps, you know what I mean? Like for some people that helps, it gives you this something to relate to in a sense, or something that's familiar that can make the scripture real for you. So I understand why it's beneficial in a lot of sense, but it's also important to make sure, especially early on, it's important to have these tools, period, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, that just show you the text, the content, like you said, the Bible project that tells you the who, the what, the when, the why, and the how. They drawing pictures. They not even showing you their face. They are drawing pictures and connecting dots, blah, blah, blah. This is what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
No added commentary.
Yes, no fillers. Yep. No fillers. And what I love about what I've learned, and this was something that I learned recently, you know, going through the process of school, that we couldn't use things like devotionals. That wasn't considered a good source. So I learned to look at different commentaries, and what commentaries are really them taking the history, because I had to write some. So it's really me taking the history and really presenting the book as is. We exegete the text. And then those last couple pages are ways that we talk about applying it. And so one of my favorite ones that I did was one about the story of Habakkuk. You know, Mr. Write the Vision and Make It Plain. I give everybody nicknames. Mr. Write the Vision, Make It Plain. And there's such a bigger story than what we have been taught. And the bigger story is not only did he write the vision and make it plain, but he kind of had some beef with God. He was like, first of all, do you not see your people out here wilding? Mm-hmm. I'm going to come and find you. I know you're going to give me, you're going to let me know what's good. The vision that he wrote and made plain was punishment, God's punishment for his people. Then Habakkuk was like, wait a minute, you're going to use these wicked Babylonians, but you're not wicked because you're God. Why are you going to use them to punish us and we your people? Like, it's such a beautiful story. And by the end of it, God reveals to him his whole plan. He tells him, like, yeah, I'm going to use them, but that's not me. Me using them isn't me condoning them. Matter of fact, here are all the things that they've done. So he lists out all of the sins of the Babylonian people. And if you really look at it, it's exactly what's happening in the world. Yeah. Like, it's people stealing from the poor, and it's people taking advantage. It's people in leadership that are drunkards and doing this and have their own selfish ambition. It's history. You can see when the Bible said that there's nothing new under the sun, you can draw these different revelations. Honestly, is what it is. And in the very end, Habakkuk can praise God because he's brought to remember that God is going to restore his people. God reveals to him the whole plan. And even though he doesn't agree, by the very end, he's reminded of God's faithfulness, and he puts his trust back in God. Mm-hmm. And how hard is it for us sometimes when you see, like, God, you don't see this? Hello. Right. And so there's so much more to it than to just write the vision, make it plain. And so this means I'm going to take the things that I desire, my own plan, put some pictures on a poster board. And that's what we're using this for. It's deeper than that. Habakkuk is the story about what happens when God don't, or you don't like the way that he goes about it. And you can still go to him and be like, no, this feels pretty ghetto, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to use them? And I'm me, and you love me. And so it really is important. What I've learned is to know the history. So in these commentaries, they talk about the Babylonian Empire and this and that. It's a lot of history that you also have to understand. And with that, you gain more knowledge. And so these kind of commentaries that aren't devotionals, because my grandmama, she here, and we do Bible study together at nighttime. And she had this devotional, and it had nothing to do. I said, girl, this is dumb. I said, girl, what is she talking about? The devotional and the scripture have nothing to do. It was about God's judgment and him, you know, making sure they were protected. And she was like, how would you feel if there were no laws? Ma'am, you couldn't. This is what you thought you ate with that, didn't you? Really goofy question. What if somebody murdered you and there was nothing that could be done in the judicial system? Well, I would be dead. So I wouldn't feel any kind of way about it. I would be with the Lord. And like, this is just a weird, I was like, well, where did you get this devotional from?
How would you feel if you was dead and it wasn't justice?
And you knew your family couldn't get, I wouldn't know anything. I would be gone. And so it's just even being able to rightly divide sometimes just the noise. There's a lot of noise that can come. Yes, so Crystal said, I feel dead. Exactly. I feel your man. And so we have to be able to really overcome our flesh, because that's really what makes it, that's really where the challenge is that your flesh feels like this is boring, or I'm not getting anything from this, or there doesn't feel like there's any value in this. And so we're so drawn to the charismatic preachers and to you know, the teachers and things like that. And again, they have their rightful place in the kingdom, but that cannot be your only source.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and if you become your God.
Yes, they become your God. And it's very simple. It's like, okay, if you ate fast food every day, eventually you'll get sick. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Like, you can eat fast food sometimes. It has its benefits. It can be convenient. It can have, you know, X, Y, and Z. You may enjoy it. Cool. But if you ate McDonald's every day, first of all, yuck. Second of all, you would have ill health benefits. It's going to impact your finances versus you cooking homegrown food, fresh food at home. And so you have to kind of look at it like that. Like, how much of this is like fast food being delivered to me versus me cooking this at home in my prayer closet kitchen, me and God.
Yeah.
Where we're studying. And so it's really going directly to the source.
I love that you talked about the noise, because a lot of the noise is ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy that a lot of time the enemy don't even need to bother us because we're self-destructing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this on last week's episode where I was saying that it is so out of order. It is so common and also so out of order for us to be trying to find things that spiritual things that appease our flesh. And it makes us all just confused, and we ingest confusion and we input confusion and we output confusion, because mm-hmm. we're just constantly trying to the gotquestions.org broke it down as you look for massages versus messages when they talk about
got questions. That's another one. Got questions be out here.
Mm-hmm. And so I can't emphasize enough that in order to not be in this spiritual gluttony state, you yeah. have to understand that the word, the Bible, is the standard. Yes. Whether your morals agree with what the Bible says, do whatever you need to do and resolve whatever you need to resolve in yourself. Take it all up with God. Because like you said, Habakkuk had beef. He was yes. not. Habakkuk was like, God, the math is not math in here. Like, yes. What is happening?
Had a whole attitude.
A whole attitude. But I love Habakkuk as well, because it's the reality of how we feel sometimes about God's ways. We don't always agree with them or feel excited about them. Mm-hmm. But as a follower of Christ, you need to get in line.
Yeah.
And it's okay to feel how you feel, but then go to God.
Yeah.
Ask him. There are so many things. I'm like, but I talk to you guys offline all the time, and I'm like, and I'll tell you guys about different things that may happen in my life. And I'm like, man, I went to God and I was like, God, this just feels dramatic.
Yeah.
Why are you doing all this? We didn't yeah. even have to go that route. We didn't yeah. have to do all of that. Like, for what? You could have just told me to do. You could have sent me a text. Why do we have to do all of this, God?
And I would have did it.
I find myself in that situation all the time. Like, yeah. God, this just seems redundant, silly. And I just yeah. don't feel like I can take all of this.
Yeah.
But I have to get in line.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
Yes. I could yeah. feel how I feel, but I have to get in line.
Yeah.
And not enough of us are making our flesh get in line.
Yes. We want God to get in line with our flesh. We want to live how we want to live and sprinkle Jesus on top. And I heard somebody say, I don't even remember where I heard this, was like, being a Christian isn't about Jesus following you. It's about you following Jesus. So what we like to do is be like, come on, Jesus, let me put you in my backpack. Mm-hmm. And like, you're walking and you want him to come out and do some things when it's convenient. But when you want to do what you want to do, you don't want to deal with him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of times what happens is, God said this to me once and I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. is that I was talking to him about this need for people. So there was a situation and God showed me somebody who I thought was from him that wasn't. And I was like, God, this is how people be getting duped. Like, but why are we in this position? And it was because he said that a lot of times we want to blame the devil. So there was, you know, just one of those very charismatic, like deliverance people who was like, you know, everything's a demon, like all the time. And once God kind of gave me the truth, I was just like, oh, that's wild. But also, how do we get here? Mm-hmm. And because it's easier to blame the devil than your decisions. There's no accountability. Everything that happens is not the devil. It be your decisions. You know good and well you need to lose weight because there's a family history of diabetes and you, it's not the devil coming after your life. It's little Debbie. And you and her got a thing going on. And you get to quit hanging out with her. Not little Debbie. Boy, quit hanging out with Debbie, sis. You know that she got them zebra cakes. You know she got those rolls. And you just need to you need to break up with her. It's not the devil. It's your decisions. But we don't like that because then that makes us accountable. There's a level of accountability. Honestly, what it is at the end of the day, we love the word accountable and accountability partners, but also we don't truly understand what it means to be accountable. Accountability is not someone making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's not accountability. Accountability isn't, well, if you don't do this, then X, Y, and Z will happen. That's a consequence. That's not accountability. Accountability is when you take ownership over what God has called you to do. And because it's personal to you, because it is something that your life, you know, is tied to, you do it. So only true accountability can only come from yourself because nobody's going to sit around and watch you and pull up on you and be around the corner making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. True accountability is you owning the word that God is giving you, owning the assignment to the point that you do it no matter how your flesh feels. Mm-hmm. And that's really the way that you avoid spiritual gluttony. You know, God doesn't speak just to be talking. Okay. I got Black parents. They tell you to do something. A response is what's required. But we reverence our parents more than we reverence the God that brought us the parents, more than we reverence the God that we say that we love with our whole heart, more than the God that we say, you know, I'll do anything for you. And then he tells you to do something. You're like, accept that. I'm not that. Or this either, actually. Actually, I'm going to stay going to Ray Ray house because he fine. And I believe you sent him to me, even though you told me you did. I'm going to keep dragging him to these couple conferences because that makes me feel like we're doing things in
the right couple conferences.
Because girl, I don't even want to go. And you keep dragging him to these couple conferences and you're now saying, oh, I know God told me this is my husband. And he's like, God's like, ooh, I ain't said it. I never said that. Mm-hmm. I told you to break up with him, but you want to walk in disobedience. And that's all right.
You're talking about soulmate. I told you it's the soul tie. You got to
come on.
You heard the soul part.
All you heard was you won't break my soul. And that's what you heard. And that's not it either. That's what you heard.
What I'm hearing though, as we talk about this, is pride. And pride is a big issue for a lot of folks.
Yes.
And even for me, like sometimes I'm like, God. Come on, God, I'm gonna look crazy if I do this. Or like, God, I'm not trying to do that, you know. And we are honest here because this is the reality of this walk. It's going to be many times where God is giving you instructions that you don't want to do, or that make you look stupid, or that isolate you, or that make you feel crazy, that nobody understands, that you're not going to get you're not going to get confirmation or affirmation for, that you're just going to have to do it because he says so. And despite how you feel, we all are going to get those instructions.
Even Jesus. Jesus was in that garden like, please.
If it's another way, any other way,
you see these people. Jesus felt like that. He was like, sir, anything else? Is there any other way that we could do the thing without doing the thing? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want it. He was in so much anguish that he was bleeding from his forehead, drops that were sweats of blood. It's called hematohidrosis. Okay.
Here you go. English.
But it's just, he was sweating blood. He was so pressed. And then he gathered himself and said, "Not my will, but yours be done."
Yeah.
And that is, so even Jesus felt that. And because we have a Savior who has not gone without feeling all the things that we felt, and he still did it, that's why he is the standard. Jesus still did it. Any emotion that you feel, Jesus has felt it. You want to talk about your family not, you having a disconnect with your family? They came and got Jesus, like, "Your mama outside." He was like, "Who is my mother? Who is my brothers?" Like Jesus has, he literally did it all. If we're being 100% honest, there are times I do not feel like you're not, the misconception is that you're going to feel like always doing what God said. No, the hard part of the walk is that BC, before Christ, Sharla still is tucked away in here, here and there, but the Spirit just supersedes her. So when you do something that my flesh be hearing cry my play in the background, and I'm over here telling I want to be tried by fire purified, I have to pick this one. It's just a matter of getting to that point. We all are still human, no matter who you think is the most saved of saved people. I know for me that the realness that I love about even Paul is that Paul was out here killing Christians. God took that same little zeal that you have and repositioned it for the kingdom. So now Paul's like, "If I die, I die."
Yeah.
Before, he was like, "I'm gonna kill all y'all." And he causes us to change, but the root of who we are, he still uses. Like, I'm a passionate person. I love people like crazy. I'm a student, and because I'm a student, I can be a really good teacher. And God's like, "That's cool. You can do that with medical stuff, but come here and come teach this Bible too. This is where I want you to be." And so here I was trying to exert all of my extra energy into health and healthcare and all of that. And God's like, "No, I want to use that. I gave it to you. Not only do I want to use it, but I'll refine it and I'll show you how to use it for my glory." And so a lot of times the things that we're looking for, we think that God wants us to change who we are at the core. And that's not true. He made it this way. He wants to reposition and show you how to steward well over who he's called you to be. Oftentimes, it's very much the same person. You just make different decisions. So as much as I love and be ready to knock people out for people I care about, I will pull up on Lil Lucy any day of the week because I love the Lord and I love his people. And Lil Lucy can get these hands. See, he gets the crime mob version of me, but it's like mixed with Hezekiah Walker.
This conversation was so good, y'all. This might end up being three parts, but we'll see. So I'm going to put a pin in it right here and we'll pick up with part two of Spiritual Gluttony with Dr. Sharla Walker next week. Make sure that you rate the show, subscribe to my YouTube channel as well, because we have a video of this coming out when all the parts finish airing. See you next week.
Today with Amazon Business, Shannon Stuckey of Walburn Woodworking helped her team buy 63 circular saws.
Okay, Andy, take it easy.
Now she uses her time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
At Family Dollar, we know you want more to enjoy your summer. Delight your family with our great assortment of ice cream and frozen treats. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
What's your risk number? Find your true north. On the Vantage Point with True North Wealth Partners podcast, you'll find financial tips, insights, and information to help you plan for your future. True North Wealth Partners has locations in Dublin and Wooster, Ohio, while serving clients nationwide. Dedicated to God, country, clients, and family. To learn more about the Vantage Point with True North Wealth Partners podcast, visit mytruenorthwp.com. That's mytruenorthwp.com. True North Wealth Partners. Welcome home.
Robinhood is an investing platform that helps serious investors with their financial goals by giving them the tools to run their money on their terms, so you can make power moves in your power suit, even if that power suit might be fuzzy slippers or an oversized sweatshirt. But hey, that's what makes you you. Run your money with Robinhood, Learn more on Robinhood.com/podcasts. Stocks and ETFs offered by Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC. Crypto offered by Robinhood Crypto LLC. All investing involves risk.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.